Morning, everyone. I now call this remote hearing of the House Climate and Energy Finance and Policy Committee to order. We will begin by taking the roll.
Chair Long.
Present.
Vice Chair Akam.
Present.
Minority Lead Swazinski.
Present.
Representative Bierman.
Present.
Representative Bowe.
Present.
Representative Christensen.
Present.
Representative Franson. Representative Franson. Representative Grunhagen.
Present.
Representative Hollins.
Present.
Representative Hornstein.
Present.
Representative Igo.
Present.
Representative Lee.
Lee present.
Representative Lippertz.
Lippert present.
Representative Lislegard.
Lislegard present.
Representative Mecklund.
Mecklund present.
Representative Munson.
Present.
Representative Stevenson.
Present.
A quorum is present. Members, before us today is the Clean Energy First Act, House File 10. Representative Stevenson, would you like to move your bill?
Mr. Chair, I would move House File 10 be recommended to be placed on the General Register.
Representative Stevenson moves House File 10 to be placed on the General Register. I understand, Representative Stevenson, you have an author's amendment.
I do, Mr. Chair. I would move the committee adopt the DE2 amendment, which gets the bill in the shape that I'd like the committee to consider it in.
Representative Stevenson offers the DE2. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? The DE2 is adopted. And Representative Stevenson, I understand you have a technical amendment to the DE2.
I do, Mr. Chair. It's the A26. I move the A26.
Representative Stevenson moves the A26 to the DE. Is there any discussion?
Seeing Mr. Chair, what does that do?
Representative Stevenson?
It deletes a phrase that doesn't make sense after the DE2. It's just a grammatical fix.
Any further questions, Representative Swazinski?
Okay.
All those in favor of the A26 say aye.
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 Any opposed? The A26 is adopted. Representative Stevenson, please tell us about your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I will be brief because I know there's a lot of amendments and discussion that we want to have today, and most of the committee is very well acquainted with Clean Energy First in that it's been before the committee a few different times. The clean energy revolution is well underway, and while this revolution was sparked and guided by policy like Minnesota's Next Generation Energy Act, today the primary driver is economics. The price of wind and solar are low and dropping. Wind is the cheapest form of energy. Solar is projected to be so within the next few years. And you don't have to take my word for it. You can just look at the actions that are happening in the market all around us. We are fortunate here in Minnesota to have great corporate citizens, companies like Xcel, Minnesota Power, Great River Energy, co-ops like Conexus, private companies like 3M and Best Buy that are showing us the way and showing us that our values and our economics are in alignment in favor of clean energy. Our state's energy portfolio is changing fast, and that has really important consequences for our state. Clean Energy First, the bill, is an effort to manage those consequences. It attempts to smooth and speed the transition to a carbon-free energy sector. It refocuses our state's energy policy on three primary values: carbon reduction, affordability, and reliability. It also attempts to mitigate some of the rough patches in the transition by addressing issues like the transitions that will be happening in communities around the state with some of our workforce. Clean Energy First is not an ideological bill. It's a practical bill that's a result of years of stakeholder conversations, and I'm really happy to continue to work on this bill with my partner in the Senate, Senator Senjum. The bill before the committee today should be very familiar with modest changes. The same language passed through this committee last year and passed off the House floor 2 years ago. And I'll just close by saying much of the statutory framework that guides our energy regulations is 15 to even 30 years old. It's an understatement to say that the energy landscape has dramatically changed in that time. And with that, Mr. Chair, I know that there are several testifiers, including the Commissioner of Commerce.
Thank you, Representative Stevenson. And we will hear first from Commissioner Arnold.
Thank you, Chair Long and members, for the opportunity to be in front of you this morning. For the record, my name is Grace Arnold. I'm the temporary commissioner of the Department of Commerce. I'd like to thank Representative Stevenson for carrying this proposal. So Clean Energy First will broaden Minnesota's existing preference for clean energy utility resource planning. This proposal is one of four cornerstones of Governor Walz's clean energy package, which will work together to decarbonize the electric power sector and optimize energy use by Minnesota utilities, consumers, and businesses. Clean Energy First, along with the Eco Bill and the 100% by 2040 carbon-free energy standard, refreshes and updates Minnesota's existing energy policy framework. In 2007, Governor Pawlenty signed our current framework into law, but as Representative Stevenson mentioned, our electric system is undergoing massive changes not anticipated at that time. Minnesota's current generation system is aging and is at a critical juncture. By 2040, over 70% of the electric energy resources in the state will be up for retirement or consideration. This proposal will ensure retiring power plants are replaced with clean energy, wind, solar, energy efficient, or other new innovative resources before natural gas or other emitting resources. This proposal also provides needed flexibility for our grid by allowing for alternative generation of reliable, if reliability or affordability requires it. When utilities propose to replace or add new generating capacity, they would first need to explore clean energy as an option. And if they choose not to, if they choose a different option, they would need to explain why. Minnesota is known as a national leader in setting and achieving clean energy goals. There's now an opportunity to take this leadership to a new level. Clean Energy First will ensure reliable, affordable, and sustainable electricity for Minnesota, and it will give the state a cleaner, healthier environment and a strong clean energy economy. So thank you, Representative Stevenson, for carrying this bill, and Chair Long.
Thank you, Temporary Commissioner Arnold. Representative Stevenson, would you like to introduce your next testifier?
Yes, Mr. Chair. My next testifier is Kevin Pranis from La Una.
Mr. Pranis, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Chair Long and Representative Stevenson. I'm Kevin Pranis. I'm here on behalf of more than 12,000 men and women who work as skilled construction laborers across Minnesota and are represented by La Una, Minnesota, and North Dakota. Our members are on the front lines of the energy transition, working to maintain and eventually decommission legacy power plants, as well as working installing new wind and solar. And many will be directly impacted by the transition and dislocations, and they care that we do this right. And we want to thank Representative Stevenson for the pragmatic and flexible and bipartisan approach that he has taken, and Chair Long as well, to addressing this issue. We think anyone concerned about climate should support this bill because it offers an opportunity to establish a solid framework for moving as quickly as the technology allows toward decarbonization. But we also think that anyone concerned with Minnesota's economic competitiveness should support this bill, because let's be clear, our future competitiveness depends on getting the transition done in a timely manner and affordably. Whether we're competing to sell food or iron or timber or copper, or trying to secure a headquarters or data center, our ability to provide affordable, reliable, carbon-free electricity is going to be key to the future of our economy, and that means the future of our members. And finally, we think anyone who cares about the availability of high-quality jobs and energy should support this bill, which provides strong protections and helps create transition pathways for workers in the energy sector. This is a strong bill because it builds on the strength of our existing system of utility regulation and utility partners. We've benefited from affordable, reliable electricity with high-quality jobs and business opportunities, and this would preserve and strengthen those values, including providing a path for utility ownership for generation assets, which is proven effective. Second, technology-neutral approach that it's using, including a full suite of carbon-free resources, means that we're going to have the entire toolbox. And finally, prevailing wage and apprenticeship protections. I want to let the committee know from our studies, we can estimate that renewable energy projects built by contractors that pay prevailing wage and partner with registered apprenticeship programs employed on average four times more Minnesota and local workers than projects built by contractors that did not. So this is going to maximize local workforce, and that means millions, tens of millions of additional dollars into local economies as a result. We thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, Mr. Pranis. Representative Stevenson, would you like to introduce your next testifier?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My next testifier is M. Dunnick from the Carpenters Union.
Mr. Dunnick, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. For the record, my name is Adam Dunnick, Director of Government Affairs for the North Central States Regional Council of Carpenters. We represent over 12,000 members in Minnesota here who are carpenters, floor covers, lathers, millwrights, pile drivers, and industrial workers. As a union, we are dedicated to protecting and elevating the economic and social condition of all workers. We partner with contractors to provide our industry with the best trained, most productive, and safest workforce available. The superior productivity and skills that our members bring to the job site reward them with pay and benefits that allow them to provide a better life for themselves, their families, and communities. And under normal circumstances, we invite the committee to visit our Carpenters Training Institute, which is right down the street from the Capitol on Olive Street, and we look forward to extending an invitation in the near future. One sector our members work in every day is the energy sector. For decades, our members have worked in the oil, gas, nuclear, and other energy facilities to build and maintain the power generation for our state. Our members take great pride in doing that work safely and providing the state with tremendous value. As renewable sources have emerged, we want to make sure that the jobs that go along with them are also good paying jobs. And we support the provisions that Mr. Prantis laid out and talked about, calling for prevailing wage, registered apprenticeship programs, and local hiring. To us, prevailing wage is an important policy. It has broad and bipartisan support. It's an issue that we've worked on for decades. It has been studied repeatedly in Minnesota and nationally. Most recently, the Midwest Economic Policy Institute found that strong prevailing wage laws help employers recruit and retain the most skilled workers. Prevailing wage keeps costs stable and promotes joint labor management and apprenticeship programs, which leads to a career in construction. Our union and other trades invest over $30 million every year in private funds to create these career pathways. Prevailing wage also has its detractors too, and we know it's the obligation of some to advocate for cheap labor and lower wages. That is why we are proud to stand with our employers who pay good wages to their workers. Our labor management model has done so much for the construction industry, which is why the future of the energy sector that we're discussing today is so important to us. In the spirit of our partnership with employers, there's one other policy that I didn't mention in my letter that I want to make mention of now, which is the ability for utilities to own renewable technologies as an asset. We believe that utilities ought to have the ability to own resources that replace the closed fossil fuel generation sources. Lastly, I want to applaud Representative Stevenson for his work on this bill. We look forward to continued engagement with the committee and with the House and the Senate through the rest of the session. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today in front of your committee.
Thank you so much, Mr. Dunnick. Representative Stevenson, I believe you have one more testifier.
That's right, Mr. Chair. My last testifier is Jessica Trish of the Sierra Club.
Ms. Trish, welcome to the committee.
Hello, everyone. Thank you, Chair, members of the committee, and Representative Stevenson. My name is Jessica Trich. I'm with the Sierra Club. We represent over 80,000 members and supporters in Minnesota, empowered to protect communities by addressing our state's most urgent environmental issues. We're excited to be here today to support Clean Energy First as amended in DE2, as proposed in the DE2 amendment. The concept of Clean Energy First is common sense to address the climate crisis, protect communities from pollution, and create good clean energy jobs in Minnesota. Utilities should be prioritizing clean energy and looking to fossil fuels as a last resort. Our state is already transitioning away from coal, and it's critical that we meet new energy needs with renewable energy, energy savings and storage, and not fossil gas that's risky for our climate and for customers. Minnesota law currently includes a renewable preference and requires utilities to consider renewables before proposing new fossil fuel plants. This provides advocates and the Public Utilities Commission tools to hold these utilities accountable. This bill strengthens current law with more clarity for utilities and the PUC. It also supports local Minnesota clean energy jobs, as others have discussed. This bill would be most impactful paired with a 100% bill as proposed in Governor Wall's policy package, and as this committee heard earlier this month or last month. While we support this bill, we do have a couple concerns. Including carbon-free resources in the preference without qualifications puts nuclear on the same level as renewables. Nuclear energy poses environmental and safety concerns and is incredibly expensive. And while this bill would certainly be a step forward, we're concerned that a Senate version would not. We've not yet seen a Senate version of Clean Energy First this year, but last year's Senate version included loopholes for proposed gas plants called Dirty Energy Clean and contained other problematic provisions. While we don't know the specific, we remain concerned that a Senate version will become a magnet for policies that could move our state backwards. We want to thank Representative Stevenson, Chair Long, and the committee. We look forward to continuing to work with you, the Department of Commerce, and other stakeholders to ensure that any policy moving forward lives up to the author's intent to advance climate solutions and the Clean Energy First name. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Trich. Now we'll turn to member questions. We have about 10 minutes allocated for member questions before we go to public testimony and amendments. And first up is Representative Swazinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just my first question to the bill author. Is there a companion to this bill in the Senate? And is someone carrying it over there for your particular bill that we're hearing today?
Representative Stevenson.
My the partner that I've worked with in the Senate on this bill for the last 3 years is Senator Senjum. I don't know that he's introduced his version of Clean Energy First yet, but we continue to partner together. So, yes, there is a companion.
Representative Swazinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And then a question to Commissioner Arnold. She spoke to the fact that we need this bill. And my question to her would be, if this bill was already in place, what decisions as far as energy capacity and energy generation would have been changed or different in the last few years than what they currently already have made decisions on? Like, what would have changed their policy, or what would have been approved, or what would have disapproved if we did nothing?
Commissioner Arnold.
Thank you, Chair Long and Representative Swazinski. I think, you know, it would be a case by case on some of the, I don't know that I am here to go through all of the resource plans that have been presented over the last little bit. I think, you know, we're happy to follow up with you to talk about some of those specific dockets. It's a sort of case by case analysis, right?
Representative Swazinski.
Yes, Mr. Chair. And just Commissioner, I mean, do you have one example of something that would have changed?
Mr. Chair,
just off the top of your head,
go to Representative Stevenson, and then the commissioner, she has a follow up.
Well, I just want to note that the whole idea behind this bill, one, is to be forward looking, but two, is to vest these decisions in our Public Utilities Commission. You know, in Minnesota, we really have a great model where we have a Public Utilities Commission that carefully looks through a written record, looks at a lot of different evidence, and then makes a determination. And this is about kind of helping guide their work. I'm not sure that it's possible without that written record to go through and make those kinds of determinations. And that I'm not sure that we want the legislature kind of second guessing that work that way.
Commissioner Arnold, did you have anything you wanted to add?
Nothing to add beyond that.
Representative Swazinski, do you have one more question?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So my question would be, we talked a lot about local jobs, Mr. Chair, and to Representative Stevenson. I have a large employer in my district that's built thousands upon thousands of megawatts of renewable energy. How would this affect them if they don't currently participate? Would they be excluded from these projects because of this bill?
Representative Stevenson.
I'm not sure I'm quite following your question, but I don't know that anyone is excluded from anything. The bill sets out a number of factors that the PUC needs to be considering when approving projects. So, I mean, it would depend upon whether the projects go through the PUC. Again, looking at that written record and having the PUC make the determination, looking at a number of different factors, focusing primarily on the three values that I mentioned in the outset: carbon reduction, affordability, and reliability.
Thank you, Representative Stevenson. Representative
Mr. Chair.
Swazinski, we're going to move on.
This is a very important bill.
Five additional questions, and we have you've taken up half our question time. Representative Lislegard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this is a comment to the bill author. As we work through this process, I want to commend you for bringing in all the different stakeholders, and then specifically to your amendment that addresses the concerns brought forth by our brothers and sisters from the 49ers organization. So to me, that is the good faith that you're working, bringing forth all the different concerns, trying to create a bill that can move forward in a way that is bipartisan. So thank you so much, bill author.
Well, and Mr. Chair,
Representative Stevenson.
Thank you. There's no better champion for the working people of Minnesota, and including those changes wouldn't have happened without your leadership, and really appreciate it, and really appreciate the partnership with the 49ers.
Representative Franson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So Representative Stevenson, if wind and solar are the cheapest energy resources, why do we need House File 10 at all? In state law, Minnesota already has strong preferences for renewables. As I said, that is in state law. Why not just have a simple bill that says to the PUC that they must pick the lowest cost option.
Representative Stevenson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Franson. I don't think that we want to be just at the lowest cost option. I think reliability is also very important, and I think carbon free is also very important. I don't think that energy is quite as simple that you could have as simple bill as you're proposing. I do think that wind and solar are the cheapest form, and we're seeing that the transition's happening without legislation, as I think the very first sentence happened under in my introduction indicated that. This bill is an attempt to smooth and speed the transition to clean energy because it has a multitude of great opportunities, but also some challenges related to local jobs and transmission and other issues that we want to address. So it's trying to smooth out that transition that's occurring because of the market forces.
Representative Franson, did you have a follow-up?
I might circle back later, but not right now. Thank you.
Okay. Representative Gruenhagen.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, Representative Stevenson, I have a request here from Americans for Prosperity. They weren't able to testify today. So the question is, well, first I'll make a couple statements. You know, HF10 includes some on the scale preferential treatment for clean and carbon-free energy that would result in massive cost increase. Again, this is Americans for Prosperity. Minnesotans are already being negatively affected by this type of market distortion, even under what is now only a 25% renewable energy standard, RES. Historically, electricity in Minnesota has been consistently cheaper than the national average by 18 to 20%. However, following the enactment of the 25% renewable standard, the competitive advantage has been lost. In 2017 was the first year ever that electricity in Minnesota was more expensive than the national average. And all told, Minnesotans are now paying over $1 billion a year for electricity per year than if the state had maintained its historic price advantage. It goes on to say, and this is the last comment, this negatively impacts the lowest income households that devote more than 20% of their after-tax income to utilities, and it exasperates energy poverty. They don't buy the prescriptions they need, pay for other things that are necessities, food, instead of diverting their money to energy bills. So, you know, this doesn't seem like it's gonna help. It seems like it's gonna hurt Minnesotans, especially low-income people. What's your response?
Mr. Chair, Representative Gruenhagen, my response is that's flat wrong. I'd say from the outset that if I have one goal for this year, Representative Gruenhagen, it will be to convince you about the difference between bills and rates. That's my goal for the year, because our rates may be going up higher than the national average, but our bills are lower than the national average. And bills are what matter when you're trying to consider whether or not people have enough money to pay for prescription drugs. It's the amount of money that's coming out of their pockets. Wind is the cheapest form of energy today. That's why companies like Great River Energy are shutting down coal-fired power plants and devoting resources to clean energy like wind, because it's cheaper. They can save money, and that will translate to consumers as well.
Yeah, Representative Stevenson, or Mr. Chair, Representative Stevenson, you got a lot of convincing to do, I'll tell you that. So you can start anytime.
Our last question will be Representative Mecklen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I actually have two questions. One is a follow-up to what Representative Swizzy was asking earlier. I don't know if it wasn't really probably clearly put. The question I have is, the way I read this, that the only way you could work in this industry going forward with this bill is you must participate in an apprentice program. That contractor has to have an apprenticeship program in place. So, like, even if they're willing to pay prevailing wage, they would be excluded from this work. Is that true or false?
Representative Stevenson.
It's false.
Representative Mecklen.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. My second question, I had a meeting yesterday with many of the main players in the solar industry on the continuous county issue was a big part of it. But I had inquired some years back about putting solar panels potentially on my roof or in my yard. I have the space for it. But they kind of assured me yesterday in this meeting that because I'm not in an Xcel district, if I was to put in 8 acres of solar panels in my own yard, it would not be cost effective because I'd only get about 2 cents per kilowatt. So how can it be that if I invest my own money, I can only get 2 cents a kilowatt, but if I can put this through a program in an Xcel territory, I can then the utility will pay me full retail? How does that work?
Representative Stevenson.
Well, Representative Mecklen, I think you raised some interesting questions there. I don't know that this bill is directly to that point, and because we have pretty limited time today, I'd encourage us to have that conversation a different time. But I think that you raised some really interesting questions that perhaps when, you know, we talk about community solar and some of the other solar regulations, we should have that conversation. They're important questions, but I'm not sure that this bill addresses that.
So we have concluded time for member questions. Representative Franson, I mentioned at the beginning, we only have 10 minutes. There were 10 folks who signed up for public testimony, and we have 16 minutes to get to.
We've used 5 minutes.
We have not. I've been following the time.
No, I have been timing it.
Well, I'm the chair, Representative Franson, and I've been watching the clock. So we're going to move now to public testimony, and first we'll hear from Mr. Greg Patton. Mr. Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Wonderful. Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Greg Patton, and I represent Great River Energy, a generation and transmission cooperative owned by 28 member cooperatives who serve nearly 2 million people across greater Minnesota. As the second largest power supplier in Minnesota, we are already transforming our power supply mix such that renewable resources will be our largest energy source by 2025 and will dramatically reduce our carbon emissions in this decade. Like most utilities in Minnesota, we participate in the MISO energy markets. This isn't new. It's been a fact for the last 16 years. And much like renewable attributes have been separated from those energy markets, so too should carbon attributes. The market supplies the most competitive energy whenever needed to serve our members. And we are encouraged that this bill acknowledges the critical role the market plays in power supply diversity. But we remain concerned about the complexity created by multiple definitions and implications that Minnesota's power supply could be segregated from the larger market. Like many, we recognize that renewables alone cannot provide the reliability Minnesotans need for 365 days a year. It requires a diversified portfolio of resources and transmission assets to deliver power at all hours. Great River Energy is counting on our fleet of natural gas peaking plants to provide backup power to wind and solar generation for the foreseeable future. We encourage you to provide flexibility in policy by exempting limited use peaking plants from carbon-related restrictions. Minnesota utilities are already far along the path of reducing carbon emissions, and the actions and commitments by Minnesota utilities have demonstrated clean energy is already first, clearly enabling inclusion of the MISO market in peaking plants in future resource plans will better enable Minnesota to continue being a leader in reducing carbon emissions while minimizing costs to all Minnesotans. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Patton. Next, we're hearing from John Reynolds. Mr. Reynolds.
Chair Long and members, thank you for the opportunity. I'm John Reynolds, Energy Policy Director for the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce. The Minnesota Chamber believes in affordable, reliable, and cleaner energy. Our organization works hard to help member companies reduce their energy consumption, divert waste, and minimize environmental impact. We also strongly support efforts by Minnesota Chamber members who have sustainability and clean energy commitments which go beyond any state mandate or goal, whether it's reducing carbon emissions in their own operations or making more sustainable products. Ambitious plans to reduce environmental impact are real and ongoing. Over the past two decades, state goals, utility choices, and other factors have contributed to an electric grid that is 25% renewable and 50% carbon-free today. Without any new mandates or laws, Minnesota's electric mix is on track to be 45% renewable and two-thirds carbon-free by 2030. This is tremendous progress and will likely grow without new mandates or laws. At the same time, policy choices have also contributed to a staggering acceleration of Minnesota's commercial and industrial electric rates and bills. Between 2008 and 2018, Minnesota's rates climbed 33%, while U.S. average rates grew by only 1.5%. As a result, Minnesota has lost the competitive edge its once affordable electric rates offered and now has the 13th highest commercial and industrial rates in the country. This has real-world implications for jobs everywhere in our state and contributes to hard decisions, including business closures. While we appreciate the intent of House File 10, we encourage the committee to allow for a process of the Public Utilities Commission which more carefully balances the need for reliable and affordable power with cleaner energy, eliminate existing outdated cost drivers in state law, and avoid stacking new costs into electric bills that are already unaffordable for many. Thank you again for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Reynolds. Next, we are hearing from Adam Hansen. Mr. Hansen, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Adam Hansen with the Associated Builders and Contractors of Minnesota. Our contractor members and the men and women they employ are part of the 80% of the construction industry in the state that choose to be merit shop craft professionals rather than be in a union. Many of our members already build clean energy projects like solar and wind across the state. Utilities and other project owners know that their projects will be built safely and by a highly trained, skilled, and local workforce. After all, these are Minnesota contractors we represent who are building projects here in the state. I'm testifying today, however, in opposition to provisions in the bill that would, for the first time ever, mandate state prevailing wage laws to be used on wholly private construction projects. Prevailing wage laws do not guarantee local workers are used on any particular project, nor do they ensure safer projects, nor do they ensure better quality construction. Prevailing wage laws can't even guarantee local current wage rates are used. The other problematic provision in the bill is the ability for the PUC to mandate that contractors and their subcontractors have a state or federally recognized and registered apprenticeship program in order to build or get a permit. This is unprecedented and will have a discriminatory and disparate impact on communities throughout Minnesota, including communities of color. If you're part of the 80% of Minnesota's construction workforce who are not in a union, odds are you're not in one of these programs and therefore would be prohibited right off the bat from building projects even in your own community. The absence of a registered apprenticeship program has nothing to do with a contractor's ability to perform work, their work product, or the ability to perform that work safely. Ultimately and practically, the registered apprenticeship program mandate will act as a union-only requirement at the expense of the vast majority of Minnesota construction workers who aren't in a union.
Thank you, Mr. Hansen.
Thank you.
Next, we'll hear from Isaac Orr. Mr. Orr.
Morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Isaac Orr, and I'm a policy fellow specializing in energy and environmental policy at Center of the American Experiment. Our research has concluded that this legislation will increase costs for consumers, harm the reliability of our electric grid, but it will also fail to accomplish the environmental goals set forward by the authors because it does not allow for new nuclear power plants to be built. It does now not allow electricity generated by large hydroelectric dams to meet clean energy requirements, and it does not establish a clear path for the use of carbon capture and sequestration. This is a mistake because the legislation essentially becomes a wind, solar, and battery storage mandate with gas peakers. If the goal of the legislation is to reduce emissions as quickly as possible, then battery storage will fail to deliver. An analysis by the consulting firm Wood Mackenzie estimates that there will be 741,000 megawatt hours of global battery storage capacity in 2030. This may sound like a big number, but Minnesota consumed 72 million megawatt hours of electricity in 2019. This means the amount of battery storage expected to be in existence for the entire world would be the equivalent of just 1% of Minnesota's annual energy consumption. If the goal is to attain a carbon-free grid, then batteries simply won't deliver anytime soon. As written, this bill would lock in the use of natural gas for the foreseeable future. The bill should include nuclear and large hydro. Thank you very much and have a great day.
Thank you, Mr. Orr. Next, we'll hear from Mr. Thor Underdahl. Mr. Underdahl.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Thor Underdahl with Minnesota Power. I appreciate the opportunity to address the committee on this bill. As has been previously noted in this committee, Minnesota Power, along with its peer utilities, have made substantial progress to date towards decarbonizing our portfolios, and we have collectively made commitments to nation-leading plans regarding next steps in this transition. We understand the importance of Minnesota showing leadership on carbon reduction, and feel these commitments made by the electric sector are doing just that. With that said, I would like to highlight a few areas in the bill for consideration as this discussion continues. On lines 4.13 to 5.2, the bill makes several changes to the definition of energy storage. Minnesota Power, along with a bipartisan group of stakeholders from the storage, environmental, and business community, worked collaboratively on the bill that outlined this part of statute and was signed into law in 2018. We hope we can continue to discuss how we consider keeping the elements of importance that were carefully crafted in that bill. We also hope to work with the committee members to discuss the importance of allowing for technologies like carbon capture to be recognized in this and other bills. At the federal level, there has been bipartisan support for legislation that supports and recognizes the role that carbon capture and sequestration will have on our path to decarbonization. Finally, I would like to say that we appreciate and support the efforts made in this bill to support utilizing local skilled workers as we transition the electric sector. Those provisions are broadly supported and truly stand on their own. Thank you for the time to address the committee, and we look forward to the continued discussion on this and other proposals.
Thank you, Mr. Underdahl. Next, we are hearing from Rob Danette. Mr. Danette.
Good morning. My name is Rob Danette. I'm representing the Minnesota Resource Recovery Association. The Resource Recovery Association includes about one third of the counties in Minnesota, and with a particular focus on solid waste management. So I'm a little bit out of place speaking on an energy bill here, but the MRA supports the objectives of the clean energy bill. That is sources that are zero emission and sustainable. Unfortunately, we can't support a complete revision of the bill that would remove any carbon sourced energy. And I'm speaking specifically about waste combustors, because this bill is going to spill over into solid waste policy, and any dismantling of the thermal processing component of integrated solid waste management is going to have consequential impacts on us, maybe yet this year, because, you know, you're looking at increased landfill capacities, we're looking at climate change, and every ton of waste that does not go through thermal processing and ends up in a landfill is going to end up as a methane emission with 25 to 50 times the climate change impact. A lot of the opposition about waste combustion comes from legitimate concerns about emissions, which were generated in the late 20th century. Since that time, the EPA and MPCA have brought the most rigorous standards to the industry that have been brought on any source short of nukes. The industry invested about $1 billion in increased controls and monitoring, which resulted in commentary from the United States EPA, quote, upgrading the emission controls is an impressive accomplishment, and the performance of MAC retrofits has been outstanding. I do see comments in the media from time to time about the emissions from waste energy facilities, but if those—
Thank you, Mr. Danette. You're out of time.
Thanks.
Next, we're going to be hearing from Mr. Rick Evans. Mr. Evans.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Rick Evans with Xcel Energy. Xcel Energy supports broadly the direction that House File 10 is moving, and in fact, our resource plans, as I'm sure the committee is aware, have been moving aggressively towards decarbonizing our system. Our current resource plan before the PUC would reduce carbon emissions by 80% from 2005 levels by 2030, and we are on a goal to hit 100% carbon-free energy by 2050. This bill basically codifies, in some respects, what the utilities and the Public Utilities Commission are already doing. But we do have some concerns with the way the bill is moving. I'm not going to mention all of them, but I'm going to mention two of them. First of all, when we do planning at Xcel Energy, we focus on one metric, and that is carbon emissions. When we're looking at these, of course, we look at cost and we look at reliability and those things too. But when it comes to the choice of resources, as this bill addresses it, we look at carbon emitting and those that do not emit carbon. We think that should be the bright line. The bill contains, frankly, a complex and somewhat confusing set of definitions, which leaves, for example, carbon-free nuclear energy and carbon-free hydrogen technology out in the cold. They don't even fit in the structure of the bill. We think a definition that divided between carbon emitting and non-carbon emitting would make the most sense. The second issue I want to bring up is the issue of ownership. The utilities need to have an opportunity to own the generation that is replacing the generation we're closing down. All of it, of course, subject to the Public Utilities Commission decision about what is in the public interest. So we are not looking for a blank check. We're looking for the opportunity to own the assets that are replacing them. And we believe this bill does not provide that opportunity. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee.
Appreciate it. Next, we're hearing from Chris McCann. Mr. McCann.
Thank you, Chair and members of the committee. My name is Chris McCann. I'm the executive director for the Prairie Lakes Municipal Solid Waste Authority. We are owned by five counties: Becker, Clay, Otter Tail, Todd, and Wadena. We operate a 54,000 ton per year waste to energy facility in Perham, Minnesota. We produce steam, not electricity. We sell it to local industries. I'm also the solid waste director for Otter Tail, Wadena, and Todd counties. In the early 1970s, the state of Minnesota commissioned counties to manage solid waste. In 50 years, counties have become the state's experts in solid waste management. The counties I represent chose long ago to follow the state, federal, and globally accepted solid waste management hierarchy. Reduce, reuse, recycle, incinerate, landfill. Consequently, we have $24 million in debt. We have over $10 million in state bond money invested in air quality control and resource recovery equipment. Waste to energy is the best method for managing the trash your constituents throw away. Without waste to energy, how will we pay off our $24 million debt? How sustainable is it planned to idle $10 million in state bond investments? On behalf of the five counties I represent, we are the solid waste experts. While waste to energy generates less than 1% of the state's electricity, calling it dirty hurts our waste to energy program, hurts Minnesota, and hurts the environment. The state of Minnesota has spent over $400 million on closed landfill cleanup projects. $300 million in landfill cleanup projects remain. Minnesotans are generating more waste than ever before. The waste stream is getting more complex. Less waste to energy means more landfilling. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McCann. Next, we are hearing from Mr. Joe Hoppe. Mr. Hoppe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. I am Joe Hoppe with Otter Tail Power. Otter Tail Power Company is an investor-owned utility that provides electricity for residential, commercial, and industrial customers in Minnesota and the Dakotas. We are the second smallest investor-owned utility in the United States. We provide electricity to 153 small towns in Minnesota. We are certainly open to having discussions about this bill with the author and stakeholders. I did want to share a couple of our potential issues with the legislation as proposed. First, since Otter Tail does operate in three states, we are wondering about possible jurisdictional issues with some of the provisions on labor. Second, while we are supportive of lowering our carbon emissions and have been working towards that goal, we don't know that the technology will be available or affordable to meet the stated goal of 65% reduction by 2030. Again, Mr. Chair, Representative Stevenson and members, I'm sure there will be plenty of robust discussion on this bill in the coming months, and we are open to being part of those conversations. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hoppe. Our final public testifier is Mr. Joel Johnson. Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Joel Johnson, here on behalf of Minn Kota Power Cooperative, which provides power to the northwest corner of the state. I know we're pressed for time, so I'll point members to the letter that we have in your packets, but I do want to highlight our two main concerns. The first is that this bill will add another very complicated, time-consuming, and costly set of regulations to what is already the most complicated, time-consuming, and costly regulatory framework in the upper Midwest. However, our biggest concern is the omission of carbon capture and the definition of clean energy. I've talked with most of you about Project Tundra, which is a major, which would be the largest carbon capture and sequestration project on a power plant in the world when completed. We'd like to work with all of you to address these concerns. I do want to thank the author, Representative Stevenson, for his openness and willing to engage on these issues. And we look forward to working with you all on this bill going forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Members, that concludes public testimony. We're going to move next to amendments. If we have time following amendments, then I'll return to member questions. We have 16 member amendments that have been filed. There were 20, and I want to thank, 19. I want to thank Representative Munson for withdrawing three of his amendments, which will allow more time for amendments. We'll have 2 minutes per side in order to be able to complete the amendments. We are going to be voting the bill out at the end of committee today. And first, we are going to turn to the A7 amendment. Who is authoring the A7?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be I'll be offering the A7 amendment, as I think we just heard Joel Johnson refer to. This amendment includes using carbon capture, and while in the past, you know, they talk about 80% to 90%, but I do believe in the coming years, technology continues to improve, like that we've agreed on last year and the year before with the technology improvements for battery storage. While it may not quite be perfect yet, we are presuming it will be there in time. So I believe this should be left on the table to make sure we have reliable baseload energy and going through this transition period, and to just simply remove something that has come so far and had been so well invested, and to me just seems relatively reckless. I hope you will consider the A7 amendment. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Mecklen moves the A7 amendment. Representative Stevenson, discussion.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'd ask for a no vote. The A7 amendment, first of all, changes the definition of carbon-free resource to include a technology that, by the definition in the amendment, is only 80% carbon-free, so therefore is not carbon-free. I also think it's a mistake to list out all of the things that are carbon-free. The bill instead prescribes a method for things becoming listed as carbon-free. We don't know where technology is going to take us in the next couple decades, and I think it's best to leave those things a little bit more open-ended. So I'd ask for a no vote.
Any further discussion of the A7?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Swazinski.
Thank you. I support the Mecklen Amendment. I think it makes just a lot of sense. These are real technologies that are proven. This bill in itself is going to have to rely on technology that hasn't been invented yet, that isn't even deployable right now today. So to say that this is not in the game is, quite frankly, not paying attention to the rest of the bill. I think members should support this. I think we need to have clean, cheap, reliable baseload energy, as Representative Mecklen mentioned, and I think folks would be wise to vote for it.
Representative Igo, you have 10 seconds of debate left.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just thought I would add, carbon capture is a platform of the new administration under President Biden. So I would find it almost inclusive that we add this amendment to the bill to follow suit.
Thank you, Representative Igo.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Mecklen.
I'd like to ask for a roll call.
Representative Mecklen requests a roll call. A roll call being requested, the clerk will take the roll, and the chair votes no.
Vice Chair Akam.
No.
Minority Leader Swazinski.
Yep.
Representative Bierman.
No.
Representative Bo.
Yes.
Representative Christensen.
No.
Representative Franson.
Yes.
Representative Grunhagen.
Yes.
Representative Hollins.
No.
Representative Hornstein.
No.
Representative Igo.
Yes.
Representative Lee.
Lee, no.
Representative Lippert.
No.
Representative Liz Lagarde.
No.
Representative Mecklen.
Yes.
Representative Munson. Representative Munson. Representative Stevenson.
No.
There being 6 ayes and 10 noes, the amendment is not adopted. The next amendment is the A8. Who will be offering the A8?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be offering the A8 as well.
Representative Mecklen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've had this same amendment before, and I'm probably going to keep bringing it back again. But this amendment is pretty simple. It would prohibit local cities from banning natural gas run to new residential construction. I do understand that carbon-free is a big push here, but residential homes do not produce electricity. They consume it, and, we have to have multi-fuel to make sure we're not dependent on one sole source of ways to heat our home. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Mecklen moves the A8. Discussion, Representative Stevenson.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'd ask for a no vote. I'm not even going to comment on the merits of the bill, of the amendment. I think it's completely unrelated to the Clean Energy First bill, which deals with planning for new electrical generation facilities, not local planning for natural gas. And so I think Representative Mecklen should introduce this as a standalone bill and see if it can be considered that way. But I would ask members to vote no here.
Any further discussion to the A8? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A8 say aye.
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 No.
No.
The noes have it. The amendment is not adopted. Next, we have the A9 amendment. Who will be offering the A9?
Mr. Chair, I would like to move the A9 amendment.
Representative Bowe moves the A9. Representative Bowe, to your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think this is a good, solid lights-on amendment, which requires that the PUC shall give primary weight to maintaining the reliability and the stability of the grid. And I would ask for a roll call vote. When I talk with folks at MISO, they seem to be concerned about the stability of the grid, especially as we see renewable reliance continuing to grow. So this amendment simply seeks to assure that our grid remains stable.
Representative Bowe moves the A9 and requests a roll call discussion. Representative Stevenson.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'd ask for a no vote on the A9 amendment. I don't think it's necessary. Reliability is already in the bill as one of the primary considerations, and I don't the terminology here, I think, is a bit vague, and so I'd ask for a no vote.
Further discussion to the A9. Hearing none and a roll call being requested, the clerk will take roll, and the chair votes no.
Vice Chair Akam.
No.
Minority Lead Spaczynski.
Aye.
Representative Bierman.
No.
Representative Bowe.
Yes.
Representative Christensen. No. Representative Franson.
Yes.
Representative Grunhagen.
Yes.
Representative Hollins.
No. No.
Representative Hornstein.
No.
Representative Igo.
Yes.
Representative Lee.
Lee, no.
Representative Lippert.
No.
Representative Lislegard.
No.
Representative Meckland.
Yes.
Representative Munson. Representative Munson. Representative Stevenson.
No.
There being 6 ayes and 10 noes, the amendment is not adopted. Next, we have the A10 amendment. Who will be offering the A10?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to offer the A10 amendment.
Representative Igo moves the A10. Representative Igo, to your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, so the A10 amendment would just be to instruct the PUC to consider the impacts of our state's mining industries, right? So being representative of Minnesota's Iron Range, it's very important to our future that we consider the costs and what they would do to our local mining industry, also the future of our mining industry, and how that would affect prices and reliability, as those jobs are essential to our region, but also those mining jobs are also essential to our green revolution that this bill is trying to imply. So I'm going to be asking for a roll call and a yes vote on the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Igo requests a roll call. Discussion to the amendment. Representative Stevenson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I really appreciate Representative Igo bringing up this idea right now, but I don't think that this amendment is quite ready for prime time. I think, you know, the concern about industry in northeastern Minnesota is a really important one. Representative Lislegard and I have been working really hard on this. You know, I just think that there's more work to be done here to get to something that actually gets at the problem. I think there's a lot of, again, vague language here, and I'm not sure it really gets to the goal that we're trying to work on here. I would encourage members to vote no now, and then I will continue to work with Representative Lislegard and others to try and protect our state's mining industry in northeastern Minnesota.
Representative Swazinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just voice my support. Representative Igo has been working very closely on these issues, and you know, I think keeping these things in mind, I mean, obviously this bill as a whole, I would say, potentially isn't quite ready for prime time, doesn't have a Senate sponsor yet. The reality of the situation is there is a lot of concern on the range. There is a lot of worry where this is going to potentially put these jobs. We are competing internationally when it comes to actual costs of energy, actual costs of iron, actual costs of labor. And I think having this in the back pocket at the PUC to be considerate to say, where does this leave those industries of mining? Where does it leave those industries of real production? And I think I support Representative Igo, and I would ask the members to do the same.
Representative Grunhagen, you have the remaining 10 seconds for your side.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I would support the 810. Also, I think we have testimony in the past at this committee. A lot of these mining minerals come from overseas, where they're using child labor, slave labor. It's scarring and polluting the global earths. And I think we really need to look at the impact of this and what it's doing overseas as well as here. Thank you. So please vote yes on the 810.
Thank you, Representative Gruenhagen. A roll call having been requested, the clerk will take the roll and the chair votes no.
Vice Chair Akam.
No.
Minority Leader Swazinski.
Yes.
Representative Bierman.
No.
Representative Bowe.
Yes.
Representative Christensen. Representative Christensen.
No.
Representative Franson.
Yes.
Representative Gruenhagen.
Yes.
Representative Hollins.
No.
Representative Hornstein.
No.
Representative Igo.
Yes.
Representative Lee.
Lee, no.
Representative Lipperts.
No.
Representative Lislegard.
Lislegard, yes.
Representative Mecklund.
Mecklund, yes.
Representative Munson. Representative Munson. Representative Stevenson.
No.
There being 7 ayes and 9 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Next, we have the A-12 amendment. Who is offering the? Next, we have the A-11 amendment. Who is offering the A-11?
Thank you, Chair Long. This is Representative Swazinski. I'd like to move the A-10 or
A-11.
You got me mixed up. the A-11 amendment.
Representative Swazinski moves the A-11 to your amendment, Representative Swazinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, the A-11 amendment is pretty straightforward. It deletes Section 10. From the bill. And, you know, from my reading of it, this section really appears to instruct the PUC to potentially close existing long-term renewable plants and essentially under the headline area, favored electricity resource state policy. And, you know, my fear is, you know, we've heard from folks from Xcel, we've heard from folks from the actual generation in a very short period of time, everybody had like a minute. But I think there's a lot of concern that the people that are actually developing projects, the people that are actually generating electricity, this really tightens the noose around those folks and their ability to make the decisions that are best for their consumers, best for their customers, and best for their areas of expertise. And I think, you know, we as politicians really like to think we're the smartest folks in the room, but, you know, I don't think that's necessarily true. And I think what we need to do is allow those companies, allow those businesses, allow those really resources to be developed and used the way they deem fit, not just have a state policy that I think will hold the scales down and force these generating capacities to close by state law. And I would ask for a roll call. Thank you.
Representative Swazinski requests a roll call. Discussion of the amendment, Representative Stevenson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'd ask for a no vote on this amendment. You know, Representative Swazinski, I really like you. I really respect you. I think you just very much mischaracterized Section 10 in a way that I don't think that there's any way to read that it would give the PUC the power to shut down anything. And I really hope that you would take another look and retract that statement. That's not at all what Section 10 does. Section 10 says that this favored energy policy of the state will be to have clean energy. This bill is called Clean Energy First. I think it's an important section to keep in the bill, and I'd ask for a no vote on the amendment.
Further discussion, Representative Munson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I apologize, members. I had a forced PC Windows update that shut my computer down. I had to reboot, so I apologize. I just wanted to clarify which amendment we're on before we vote.
We are on the A-11 amendment.
Okay, thank you very much.
Seeing no further discussion and a roll call. Was a roll call requested, Representative Swazinski?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Okay. A roll call having been requested, just trying to make sure I'm getting things straight. The clerk will take the roll and the chair votes no on the A-11.
Vice Chair Akam.
No.
Minority Leader Swazinski.
Yes.
Representative Bierman.
No.
Representative Bowe.
Yes.
Representative Christensen.
No.
Representative Franson.
Yes.
Representative Gruenhagen.
Yes.
Representative Hollins.
No.
Representative Hornstein.
No.
Representative Igo.
Yes.
Representative Lee.
Lee, no.
Representative Lippert.
No.
Representative Lislegard.
Lislegard, no.
Representative Mecklund.
Mecklund, yes.
Representative Munson.
Yes.
Representative Stevenson.
No.
There being 7 ayes and 10 noes, the amendment is not adopted. Next, we have the A-12 amendment. Who is offering the A-12?
Mr. Chair, this is Glenn Grunhagen. I'm offering the A-12 amendment.
Representative Grunhagen moves the A-12. Representative Grunhagen, to your amendment.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, what this amendment would do, it would allow hydro projects larger than 100 megawatts. Right now, under the RES, we can use carbon-free hydro under 100 megawatts or less. And this would allow larger ones. Now, the bill does contain some language about this already. However, what my amendment would do would bring the RES renewable energy standard and this bill into the same definition, which would be consistent rather than conflicting. The other thing, I did meet with solar representatives yesterday, and one of the things they stated when I asked about battery storage, they said the minimum is 5 years before there'd be any type of technological advances in the area of battery storage, and that was optimistic. So members, look at California, all right, and the rolling blackouts. Let's give our electricity providers the option of using carbon-free hydro, and let's make our definitions consistent in both the renewable energy standard and also in this bill. I ask members for a yes vote and would stand for questions and also would like a roll call. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Grunhagen requests a roll call. Discussion to the amendment, Representative Stevenson.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'd ask for a no vote and actually would hope that Representative Grunhagen might think about withdrawing this amendment. It's really an amendment that's more to the renewable energy standard, which isn't impacted by this bill. It's probably better suited as an amendment to the 100% bill. The definition of hydro or of renewable energy that's contained in this bill doesn't contain the limitation that he's referencing there. And so I don't think this amendment is really relevant to this bill. It's out of place and not workable. I'd ask for a no vote.
Discussion to the amendment. Seeing none.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Swazinski.
You know, I think, you know, just in general, why it may not be directly impacting, I think whenever we show our support, whenever we can include, I think, you know, a proper legislator works very hard to not just have their provisions in one bill, but they work hard to put their provisions in many bills so that not only the conversation can continue in a particular area, but also you have a better chance of actually coming to law. Now, there's a lot of pieces of this bill that will never become law.
We're out of time.
But support Glenn Grunhagen's amendment. I think it's a proper one. Thank you.
A roll call having been requested, the clerk will take the roll and the chair votes no.
Vice Chair Akam.
No.
Minority Leader Swazinski.
You bet.
Representative Bierman.
No.
Representative Bowe.
Yes.
Representative Christensen.
No.
Representative Franson.
Yes.
Representative Grunhagen.
Yes.
Representative Hollins.
No.
Representative Hornstein.
No.
Representative Igo.
Yes.
Representative Lee.
Lee, no.
Lipperts. Representative
no.
Representative Lislegard.
No.
Representative Meckland.
Yes.
Representative Munson.
Yes.
Representative Stevenson.
No.
There being 7 ayes and 10 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Members, we have 10 amendments left. If all of these are going to be roll called, we're going to need to keep our amendment, our comments even shorter. So just warning people about the time. Next up is the A-14. Do we have an author for the A-14?
That would be me, Mr. Chair. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And yes, I will be doing a roll call on this as well.
Representative Franson moves the A-14 and requests a roll call. Representative Franson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So reading this bill, I really think we really need to change it to the Energy First California bill. I'm very concerned that we are not going to be able to power our grid with just wind, solar, and batteries, especially if we have a two-week polar vortex like we do now. It's extremely cold out there. How do we make it past the 8 hours without reliable natural gas or coal baseload power? At my house, I have a thermometer or a thermostat that I can access through an app on my phone. And being away from home during the week, it's very helpful for me to see that my energy is reliable, that it is up and running. Now imagine those of us that are not at home and the power goes out and we're unaware that it goes out because it's unreliable. And that is very concerning. I'm afraid that, you know, we could have California brownouts in the middle of Minnesota winters, and the human consequences would be absolutely, catastrophic. We do not need a California Energy First bill, but what I do support is nuclear energy. Nuclear energy is clean energy, my friends. It protects air quality. The land footprint is small. It produces minimal waste. Also, since you're moving toward a zero carbon emission bill, you should love having nuclear energy because there is zero carbon emission.
Representative Franzen, your time is up. Representative Stevenson, discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'd ask for a no vote on the amendment. I don't think that it kind of expands the scope of the amendment to take in a different section of the air. I'd like a clean bill as I can get on this one. I also think nuclear has a lot of advantages and disadvantages. Cost is a significant factor there. And the bill already stresses reliability. I'd ask for a no vote.
Mr. Chair, my constituents deserve answers, and I haven't even gotten to describe the amendment.
Franzen, I apologize, but your side offered.
This is not what democracy looks like, Mr. Chair. This is not democracy.
Clerk will take the roll, and the chair votes no.
This is a sham hearing.
Vice Chair Akam.
No.
Monroe Leeds Wazinski.
Yes.
Representative Bierman.
No.
Representative Bowe.
Yes.
Representative Christensen.
No.
Representative Franzen.
I am voting yes on the amendment I was unable to even talk about.
Representative Grunhagen.
Yes.
Representative Hollins.
No.
Representative Hornstein.
No.
Representative Igo.
Yes.
Representative Lee.
Lee, no.
Representative Lippert.
No.
Representative Liz Lagarde.
No.
Representative Mecklen.
Yes.
Representative Munson.
Yes.
Representative Stevenson.
No.
Being 7 ayes and 10 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Next, we have the A15 amendment. Who is offering the A15?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Representative Mecklen. I'll be offering the A15 amendment.
Representative Mecklen moves the A15. Representative Mecklen, to your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, the A15 amendment would specify priority help for the 5 host communities, which includes the city of Becker, Cohasset, Red Wing, Oak Park Heights, and Monticello. You know, these are the communities that are going to get hit the hardest, and I think this is like in the city of Becker, we were able to get, you know, the Google project there, which will offset some of the lost revenue for the city, but it's a very, very small piece. And you know, as that project moves forward, it's still years out. And I would really hope that the author of this bill would consider this a friendly amendment, and we could actually start showing these communities that they're not just, you know, due to the changes in the rest of the state, they're not going to be forgotten and lost. And I'd like to roll call this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Mecklen requests a roll call on the A15. Discussion of the amendment. Representative Stevenson.
Mr. Chair, I'd ask for a no vote. The bill already contains provisions asking for local communities to be prioritized and local workers to be prioritized. So I think it's redundant. I don't think we should be listing out the specific communities. I think that it's better to give the commission some flexibility there. And I would just note that Becker was able to get the Google facility in part because of its commitment, Xcel's commitment to clean energy.
Discussion of the amendment. Representative Igo.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to appreciate Representative Mecklen for this amendment. You know, Cohasset is one of my communities that I represent, and the coal facility there makes up not only most of that entire city's tax base, but 20% of my home county, Itasca County's tax base. We need to be thinking about these facilities and what they mean for our tax bases, but also the jobs that they offer. So I really appreciate this amendment. I would encourage a yes vote because we do need to be thinking about these communities. We cannot be not thinking about them, as Representative Stevenson says. So please vote yes. Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion and a roll call having been requested, the clerk will take the roll and the chair votes no.
Vice Chair Akam.
No.
Minority Leads Wazinski.
Yes.
Representative Bierman.
No.
Representative Bowe.
Yes.
Representative Christensen. Representative Franzen.
Yes.
Representative Grunhagen.
Yes.
Representative Hollins.
No.
Representative Hornstein.
No.
Representative Igo.
Yes.
Representative Lee.
Lee, no.
Representative Lippert.
No.
Representative Lislegarde.
Yes.
Representative Meckland.
Yes.
Representative Munson.
Yes.
Representative Stevenson.
No.
There being 8 ayes and 9 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Next, we have the A-19 amendment. Who is moving the A-19? Representative Franson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. And yes, I have an amendment to the California Energy First Bill, the A-19. 2 weeks ago, the White House climate czar, John Kerry, when asked what his message would be to the displaced workers of the oil and gas industry, John Kerry said this: "What President Biden wants to do is make sure those folks have better choices, that they have alternatives, that they can be the people to go to work to make the solar panels. The same people can do those jobs." That's what the climate czar John Kerry had to say about the closing and shutting down of the Keystone pipeline. So what my amendment does, the A-19, if we were to adopt this to the California Energy First Bill, it would offer solar jobs to workers displaced by the cancellation of the Keystone XL pipeline project. We want to make sure that these individuals do have jobs. If it's good enough for John Kerry and President Biden, then I would hope that the members of this body would adopt such a policy.
Representative Franz.
I will request a roll call.
Moves the A-19 and requests a roll call. Discussion to the amendment. Representative Stevenson.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'd ask for a no vote. The Keystone XL pipeline may be a potent national issue that Representative Branson wants to raise. It's not really a potent Minnesota issue, and this is a Minnesota energy bill. I think the focus should be on supporting Minnesotans and our transition here in Minnesota, and not on addressing the Keystone XL pipeline. I'd ask for a no vote.
Many people in Minnesota are unemployed.
Representative Branson.
Yes, thank you. There are many people in Minnesota who have been displaced because of the Keystone pipeline issue. So let's make sure that they have jobs to go to. If President Biden and John Kerry have suggested this is where they're going to go, then let's make sure that they get hired first.
Seeing no further discussion to the amendment and a roll call having been requested, the clerk will take the roll on the A-19, and the chair votes no.
Vice Chair Akam.
No.
Minority Leader Swazinski.
Yep.
Representative Bierman.
No.
Representative Bo.
Yes.
Representative Christensen.
No.
Representative Franson.
Yes.
Representative Grunhagen.
Yes.
Representative Hollins.
No.
Representative Hornstein.
No.
Representative Igo.
Yes.
Representative Lee.
Lee, no.
Lippert, Representative Lippert.
No.
Representative Lislegarde.
No.
Representative Meckland.
Yes.
Representative Munson.
Yes.
Representative Stevenson.
No.
There being 7 ayes and 10 noes, the amendment is not adopted. Next, we have the A-16 amendment. Who is offering the A-16?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will be moving the A-16 amendment.
Representative Meckland moves the A-16. Representative Meckland, to your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This amendment would exempt the previously approved, and I believe it was passed in, 2017, if I'm not mistaken, natural gas power plant from this new law. As we've heard from numerous testifiers in the past several weeks, with the reliance on renewables, natural gas is the best way to balance the load requirements as needed. This is a big part of the proposed transition away from coal that has been heavily discussed in past years, and I hope that the author of this bill will accept this as a friendly amendment. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Meckland moves the A-16. Discussion to the amendment. Representative Stevenson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Unfortunately, I won't be accepting the amendment as a friendly amendment. The bill doesn't impact the law passed in 2017. I don't think the amendment's necessary. I'd ask for a no vote.
Mr. Chair, I'll ask for a roll call.
Representative Meckland requests a roll call. Seeing no further discussion, the clerk will take the roll, and the chair votes no.
Vice Chair Akam.
No.
Minority Lead Swazinski.
Aye.
Representative Bierman.
No.
Representative Bowe.
Yes.
Representative Christensen.
No.
Representative Franson.
Yes.
Representative Grunhagen.
Yes.
Representative Hollins.
No.
Representative Hornstein.
No.
Representative Igo.
Yes.
Representative Lee.
No.
Representative Lippert.
No.
Representative Lislegard.
No.
Representative Meckland.
Yes.
Representative Munson.
Yes.
Representative Stevenson.
No.
There being 7 ayes and 10 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Next, we have the A-17 amendment. Who is moving the A-17?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to pull the A-17 amendment.
The A-17 amendment is being withdrawn. Next, we have the A-18 amendment. Who is moving the A-18?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move the A-18 amendment.
Representative Igo moves the A-18. Representative Igo, to your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So this amendment would just add, as a PUC consideration, the impact of the law on the continued health of the state's existing mining industry. So kind of similar to what I've already been talking about. Like I said, it's just very important that as we talk about this, the future of energy policy in the state of Minnesota, we think about our heavy industry and we think about the importance that mining is going to contribute to a green future and continue to add good jobs to our economy and keep good jobs in the Northeast, which is my home. So I would encourage a yes vote on this, and I'm going to be asking for a roll call.
Representative Igo requests a roll call. Discussion of the amendment, Representative Stevenson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'd ask for a no vote on this. Similar to before, I think it's an important consideration, and Representative Lislegard's in my ear all the time on this issue. He's working very hard on to come up with language or to work with me on language that would actually work to protect our mining industries in northeastern Minnesota. I don't think this one's workable, and I'd ask for a no vote.
Seeing no further discussion and the roll call having been requested, the clerk will take the roll and the chair votes no.
Vice Chair Akam.
No.
Minority Lead Swazinski.
Aye.
Representative Bierman.
No.
Representative Bowe.
Yes.
Representative Christensen.
No.
Representative Franson.
Yes.
Representative Grunhagen.
Yes.
Representative Hollins.
No.
Representative Hornstein.
No.
Representative Igo.
Yes.
Representative Lee?
Lee, no.
Representative Lippert?
No.
Representative Lislegard?
Lislegard, yes.
Representative Meckland?
Meckland, yes.
Representative Munson?
Yes.
Representative Stevenson?
No.
There being 8 ayes and 9 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Next, we have the A-21 amendment. Representative Munson, would you like to move your amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Representative Munson moves the A-21. Representative Munson, to your amendment.
Okay. Thank you, members of the committee. This has to do with disposal of wind turbine blades. As we know, the wind turbine blades used to be made out of fiberglass, which were recyclable. And as you see by the picture behind me, over the past 2 years, 1,100 wind turbine blades were thrown into a landfill in Wyoming, which is one of the last places that we can get rid of these things because they're made out of glass-reinforced plastic, which is fiberglass and plastic melded together, which there is no useful byproduct. And if we want to talk about, you know, plastic straws and banning things that are plastic, these are horrible for the environment. And so my amendment requires that wind turbine blades that are decommissioned, that they be disposed of here in our state, so that we can actually own the environmental destruction that we're doing with our green energy stuff that we're using taxpayer dollars to subsidize. So unless the Commissioner of Employment and Economic Development can verify that these are going to be shipped out of state to be recycled into a useful byproduct, that this that they need to be buried here or disposed of here in some manner. So this is what we should be doing that's environmentally responsible. Again, these are 27,000 pounds per blade, which means just in the past 2 years, 30 million pounds of plastic and fiberglass are being buried out of sight, out of mind for many, but people have to understand the environmental destruction that some of these products are creating. So members of the committee, I'd ask for a roll call vote, and I would appreciate this being part of the bill. Thank you.
Representative Munson requests a roll call on the A-21 discussion. Representative Stevenson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'd ask for a no vote. A minor but important note is that this amendment violates the Dormant Commerce Clause. But I think the bigger point here is actually Representative Munson is incorrect when he says there's no useful byproduct for these turbine blades. GE just recently announced a massive contract with VNA to recycle turbine blades. They're going to shred them and use them as a replacement for coal, sand, and clay in cement manufacturing facilities all across the U.S. The truth is that these are emerging technologies. We don't know exactly where we're headed with these things, and I don't think this is workable language. I don't think it's constitutional language, and I don't think it's necessary.
Discussion of the amendment. We have 15 seconds left for discussion. Representative Grunhagen.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I would speak strongly in support of Representative Munson's amendment. You know, I think between the caustic minerals in solar and wind and some of the things Representative Munson brought out, we're creating the biggest environmental disaster in the history of Minnesota.
With thank the you, Representative Grunhagen. A roll call haven't been requested on the 8th. The clerk will take the roll and the chair votes no.
Vice Chair Akam.
No.
Minority Leader Pazinski.
Yep.
Representative Bierman.
No.
Representative Bo.
Yes.
Representative Christensen.
No.
Representative Franson.
Yes.
Representative Grunhagen.
Yes.
Representative Hollins.
No.
Representative Hornstein.
No.
Representative Igo.
Yes.
Representative Lee?
Lee, no.
Representative Lippert?
No.
Representative Lislegard?
No.
Representative Mecklen?
Yes.
Representative Munson?
Yes.
Representative Stevenson?
No.
There being 7 ayes and 10 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Representative Munson, you have the A22. Would you like to move your amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would.
Representative Munson moves the A22. Representative Munson, to your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And as you've seen, I've changed my Zoom background to show you a picture of what happened when a tornado came through in California and destroyed a solar industrial solar array, which we can call a solar garden, but it's really an industrial solar array where there was 200,000 panels. Once these panels are broken, there's lead and cadmium and a bunch of toxic chemicals and carcinogens that are leached into the soil and make these panels not able to be recycled, although most panels are just actually scraped off the frame, shoved into a shipping container, and shipped off to some third world country where they're disposed of in landfills. We have a major solar waste problem. I like solar. I think it's really cool. But we do need to understand the environmental destruction that we're doing to developing nations by shipping our problems overseas. And I would like to make sure that solar developers that are putting these out in farm fields in our communities in rural Minnesota actually have the means to decommission these properly and environmentally. And so this would require statewide in Minnesota that solar developers have this insurance bond in place. Many do already for based on counties and cities requiring this, but this requires that we actually clean up the mess that we're creating and making sure that we don't have all these solar developers from out of state coming in and taking our tax dollars and subsidies and then leaving behind a problem. So I would ask for a roll call vote on this and for adoption under this bill.
Representative Munson requests a roll call discussion. Representative Stevenson.
I'd ask for a no vote on this amendment, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Much with the last one, I think Representative Munson is incorrect in his statement about the nature of solar panel and solar panel recycling. And I know that the chair is planning a hearing to look at these issues later in session, so that will be interesting. But for the moment, I'd ask for no votes. Unworkable, unnecessary.
Discussion to the amendment. Representative Grunhagen.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I would strongly support a yes vote on this amendment. Alternative energy through wind and solar is dirty, unreliable, and expensive. Please vote yes if you want to represent your consumers. Thank you.
Thank you for your brevity, Representative Grunhagen. A roll call having been requested, the clerk will take the roll on the A22, and the chair votes no.
Vice Chair Akam. Minority Leader Pazinski.
Aye.
Representative Bierman.
No.
Representative Bo.
Aye.
Representative Christensen.
No.
Representative Franson?
Yes.
Representative Grunhagen?
Yes.
Representative Hollins?
No.
Representative Hornstein?
No.
Representative Igo?
Yes.
Representative Lee?
Lee, no.
Representative Lippert?
No.
Representative Lislegard?
No.
Representative Mecklens?
Yes.
Representative Munson?
Yes.
Representative Stevenson?
No.
There being 7 ayes and 10 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Representative Munson, would you like to move your A25 amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Representative Munson moves the A25. Representative Munson, to your amendment.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, this has to do with the consideration of the commissioner for implementing this law. We talk about how they need to look at the environment or the not even the economics, Really, you're focused on the environment here. And I want to ensure that the commission also takes into consideration the impact of developing countries that we're doing with these policies. So this amendment says that the commission shall take all reasonable actions within statutory authority to look at stuff that we're doing, like disclosing to the public the human rights abuses and labor conditions of workers that are mining and manufacturing and recycling these carbon-free technologies that we're requiring. This isn't just about, you know, cobalt mining and nickel mining and lithium mining that we're doing overseas under substandard environmental conditions and labor conditions, but really improving the traceability of the mining supply chains that we're using here. If you think that electric car batteries are great, or we can do these electric storage facilities that you think you're saving the environment, I want you to understand what we're doing with 400,000 children that are working as slaves in the mines in the Congo. The commission needs to look at what it's doing by shifting the environmental destruction and the human rights abuses overseas. This should be part of it. And I can't talk to you guys about economics to make decisions here, because it seems like our economics decisions aren't being heard. But you should at least look at the environmental destruction and the human rights abuses and the child slave labor that's happening overseas. And that's what the commission should at least consider when making these decisions. So I ask for a roll call vote and members to consider adding this to the bill. Thank you.
Representative Munson requests a roll call on the A25 discussion. Representative Stevenson.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'd ask for a no vote because the amendment amends the renewable energy standard, not the clean energy first mechanism. So it doesn't get to the bill that's before the committee. It really should be a standalone bill. If Representative Munson wants to work on the renewable energy standard, he should introduce a bill that relates to that, not try and tack it on to clean energy first. I'd ask for a no vote.
Further discussion. There's 10 seconds left. Representative Swazinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I think we could all speak. You were kind enough to call me. We've got some good amendments, good discussion. We're more than willing to meet again to continue these amendments, so we don't have to rush. I think this is a good conversation to have. But all in all, I think Munson's amendment's a good one. I think we can support local mining jobs. We can support, this in this California clean energy bill to support local jobs and not have slave labor.
Thank you, Representative Swazinski. Time for debate has expired. The clerk will take the roll, and the chair votes no.
Vice Chair Akam.
No.
Minority Leader Swazinski.
Swazinski votes yes.
Representative Bierman.
No.
Representative Bowe.
Yes.
Representative Christensen.
No.
Representative Franson.
I'm voting yes for the children.
Representative Grunhagen.
Yes.
Representative Hollins?
No.
Representative Hornstein?
No.
Representative Igo?
Yes.
Representative Lee? Representative Lee? Representative Lippert?
No.
Representative Lislegard?
Lislegard, yes.
Representative Meckland?
Yes.
Representative Munson?
Yes.
Representative Stevenson?
No.
Is Representative Lee available to vote?
Mr. Chair, Lee votes no.
Representative Lee votes no. There being 8 ayes and 9 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Representative Munson, would you care to move your A27 amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chair, move the A27. I'll be asking for a roll call on this last amendment as well.
Representative Munson moves the A27 and asks for a roll call. Representative Munson, it's your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This really has to do with the definition of carbon-free. I think that it's really important, again, to understand that solar and wind don't just wind turbines and solar panels don't grow out of cornfields. Everything that's made that makes these products is mined, processed, manufactured, shipped, and installed, most of which uses carbon, emits carbon in the process. And so this really looks at, if we're going to be trying to compare apples to apples here, we have to look at the entire energy supply chains of both what you say is carbon free, which is very, some minimal enduring energy production, but is very carbon intensive in the way that it's mined and manufactured and recycled. And so it really changes the definition here so that we can look at all of the energy production products based on a per BTU generated basis for based on how much carbon emits. So this adds language that the commissioner should be weighing when they're looking at this, all the different energy technologies. So I'd ask members to really start looking at the entire energy supply chains and not ignoring the fact that solar and wind is mined with lots of energy to mine and process and manufacture these products and to recycle them. So I ask for a roll call vote, and thank you, members, for consideration.
Discussion of the amendment, Representative Stevenson.
I'd ask for a no vote. I think the language here is unworkable. Life cycle emissions is an important thing to be thinking about, but I don't think this is a workable standard. I also think it would add a fiscal cost to the bill, which currently has a fiscal note with no cost, and so I'd ask for a no vote.
Representative Listlegard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and just a comment to the author of the amendment. I really appreciate all the narratives. It's in my wheelhouse. I firmly believe in the environmental and the labor. I'm going to be bringing stuff, some clean bills forward, and the very comments that you make, I'm going to ask that you support my clean bills when I bring them forward, because what I don't want is you to be using this as political fodder moving to try to get your agenda in a game plan. So I'm going to support this, but when I bring mine forward, I expect you to support my labor bills when they're clean, and I expect you to support my bills when they're and also regarding the environment. So thank you.
Further discussion of the amendment, Representative Grunhagen.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I would urge a yes vote. I don't know why you wouldn't want competing technologies on life cycle carbon budgets. I've read a little bit about it. It seems like reasonable. And I'll be interested to see the bills that Representative Listlegard brings forward and have a discussion at that time. But I just urge members to vote yes on this amendment.
The time for discussion has been exhausted. A roll call being requested. The clerk will take the roll, and the chair votes no.
Vice Chair Akam.
No.
Minority Lead Swazinski.
Yeah.
Representative Bierman.
No.
Representative Bo.
Yes.
Representative Christensen.
No.
Representative Franson.
Yes.
Representative Grunhagen?
Yes.
Representative Hollins?
No.
Representative Hornstein?
No.
Representative Igo?
Yes.
Representative Lee?
Lee, no.
Representative Lippert?
No.
Representative Listlegard?
Yes.
Representative Mecklenz?
Yes.
Representative Munson?
Munson votes yes.
Representative Stevenson?
No.
There being 8 ayes and 9 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Seeing no additional amendments before the committee, Representative Stevenson renews his motion that House File 10, as amended, be placed on the General Register. And the clerk will take the roll, and the chair votes aye.
Vice Chair Akam.
Aye.
Minority Leader Swazinski. Minority Leader Swazinski.
We're done, Mr. Chair.
We're on the roll call for House File 10, as amended.
Mm. Oh, we don't get to ask. Okay. No.
Mr. Chair, I would actually request that this bill be laid on the table.
Representative Franson, we're in the middle of a roll call. That is not
California order. Energy First bill is clearly not ready for prime time. We have many questions to ask.
Representative Franson, we're in the middle of a roll call.
You didn't even give us the opportunity, Mr. Chair.
Clerk, please continue with the roll.
This is a sham.
Representative Bierman.
Aye.
Representative Bo.
No.
Representative Christensen.
Aye.
Representative Franson.
Absolutely not.
Representative Grunhagen.
No.
Representative Hollins.
Aye.
Representative Hornstein.
Aye.
Representative Igo.
No.
Representative Lee.
Lee, aye.
Representative Lippert.
Lippert, aye.
Representative Listlegard.
Listlegard, aye.
Representative Mecklenz.
No.
Representative Munson.
No.
Representative Stevenson.
Aye.
There being 10 ayes and 7 nays, the motion prevails and the bill is passed. Thank you all, members. The remote meeting is adjourned.